Welcome to our podcast about the detection and disclosures of laboratory-grown diamonds. My name is Alethea. I am the Chief Learning Officer of Gemological Science International, one of the largest global gemological laboratories in the world. GSI is the only laboratory member of the Plum Club. A little bit about me, I have worked in advanced gemological laboratories for over two decades. I'm also an expert in training, education, and R&D. So basically, I'm just a gem nerd. So how often are we approached by retailers about what they need to know about laboratory-grown diamonds and their detection and disclosure? Well, it's the number one question I'm asked about. I'm always asked, what do I do about undisclosed laboratory-grown diamonds? So today I'm going to outline some of the ways a retailer can best detect and disclose laboratory-grown diamonds. Retailers are ultimately responsible for the final disclosure of diamonds and diamond jewelry to the customer. Before going across the final 18 inches of the sales counter or across the virtual sales counter, diamonds must go through multiple processes, including screening and detection and laboratory testing and analysis, to ensure what the customer receives in their hands is exactly what the retailer has represented it as. We're going to answer the big question. What are the best ways a retailer can protect themselves from undisclosed laboratory-grown diamonds? We will address testing and screening equipment, the differences, and what basic equipment a retailer can and can't rely on and why. We'll also cover the importance of education, what base knowledge retailers need to know, and what expertise laboratory scientists must have. We'll also discuss disclosures, including some key observations and trends coming out of GSI's laboratory, and how this proves that screening, detection, and disclosures are an essential part of the health of our industry. Let's start at the beginning and we'll give it all some context. Why are detection and disclosures so important to the health of our industry? The answer is the single most important word in our work: trust. Consumer confidence is the key element to our industry's success. Without it, in this emerging era of experience shopping, if consumers don't trust jewelry, they will buy something else. Jewelry commemorates life's most important moments, and it's our job to earn consumer trust every day. And it's not just up to one segment of the industry, it's up to all of us. I think the most important element of that is disclosure, about ensuring the product is accurately represented throughout the supply chain. Many of our larger retailers require suppliers of diamond jewelry to go through independent third-party processes of screening and testing. Many smaller suppliers don't believe that they have the scale to require the same, but the reality is that we're all in the same industry and most are buying goods from the same places, suppliers, and sources. It's more likely than not that a supplier is already going through the process for a larger retailer, so requesting it or requiring it of them isn't too much of an ask. More importantly, retailers, regardless of size, are ultimately responsible for the final disclosure of diamonds and diamond jewelry to the customer. So it's in your best interest to have processes in place, regardless of your scale. Diamonds must go through multiple processes, including screening and detection. And laboratory testing and analysis is a key part of those processes for our retail customers, so they can ensure what the customer receives in their hands is exactly what they represent it as. It begs the question, so it's on the retailer to commit to ensuring our business processes and supply chain uphold the integrity of the product? The answer is that it has to be. The retailers are the last set of hands on the product before the consumer gets it. In my experience, a lot of suppliers find that having us gem nerds do the screening and detection takes the pressure off the retailer. Let us diamond scientists and gemologists at the lab do the specialized work, so you, the retailers and suppliers, can focus on delivering to your customers. A lot of suppliers have third-party testing built into their internal processes, and they supply stores of all sizes and types. The thing is, there are many places mixing between natural and laboratory-grown diamonds can happen in the pipeline. In the manufacturing process, it's important to have inventory control in the facility, as well as dedicated spaces for laboratory-grown and natural goods. But oftentimes, when pieces are sent out to a third party for mounting, etc., the chain of custody is broken. Mixing inadvertently happens. Suppliers have their own internal controls, but once a diamond refers, it's a whole other challenge. So let me tell you more about the gemological challenges as a gemologist. As you know, we as a laboratory see undisclosed laboratory-grown diamonds every day, And we're seeing them in increasing quantities and qualities. We see it all. Natural diamonds in laboratory-grown jewelry, simulants, treated diamonds, all sorts of things in both loose and mounted. In jewelry, because of the challenges of testing, we're seeing more unexpected results and instances of mixing. This is because testing mounted jewelry is such a challenge. Most gemological testing relies heavily on passing light through the gemstone to obtain spectra, or to have a good view of the pavilion to view growth patterning and other characteristics. When the diamond or gemstone is mounted, all bets are off because we have to find creative ways to obtain spectra and observe the diamond. Bezel settings are always the hardest. And not only do we have to do the testing on mounted goods, we also have to ensure that all of our testing processes are non-destructive. Life would be so much easier if we could just pop the diamonds out of the mounting and then pop them back in. And don't even get me started on the challenges of testing mounted melee. This is why at GSI we had to develop our own proprietary workflow and customize equipment. Some pieces of jewelry are extremely complex to test, even for the best gemologist. Another point to add is that people often think screening and detection are the same thing. They're not one process. Screening happens in bulk and doesn't give a definitive answer to what the growth origin of a diamond is. In other words, screening doesn't tell you natural or laboratory grown. Screening tells you pass or refer. A lot of suppliers use screening methods, but this doesn't take care of diamonds that are the refers, which means they could be either natural or laboratory grown. The industry is looking for a black box solution. Pop the diamond or jewelry in a box, press a button, get a result. It's just not there yet. Every device has a limitation. At GSI, we don't manufacture our own equipment, so we have no agenda as we're not looking to sell our equipment, so I can openly share what we do. We test every piece of equipment out there, and then we buy and customize it to fit our internal methodologies. The reality is that some pieces of equipment do not work like they're supposed to or claim. People always ask this question, hoping there's a magic black box or single instrument, and while some come close, even then screening equipment is pass or refer. And when you have large referral rates, then what do? Screening only tells us what a diamond could be, not what it actually is. Pass generally means a diamond is natural, but it may not tell you if it's treated. Refer could be any number of things. A natural diamond with low nitrogen, either type 2A or 1AB, a diamond with H3 centers that's throwing off the readings, or even a diamond of a low or unusual color, or with odd phosphorescence or fluorescence, and sometimes even cut can throw off a machine. Typical screening devices use a combination of spectra and luminescence reactions. The science itself is solid, but those other factors I mentioned can still contribute to a less than 100% accuracy rate for a device. Your equipment is only as good as the operator, which is why you need gemologists with specific knowledge to take on the detection part of the process. Detection itself is a complex multi-step process. And to complicate matters further, equipment gets outdated as growth technologies evolve. Not only does the equipment have to keep up, so do us gemologists. So you might ask, will they ever get to the point where they've gone as far as they can with lab growns? As you know, we gemologists ask ourselves that as well. Keep in mind that laboratory grown diamonds were initially grown for industrial applications. Now they're used for quantum computing, sensors, optics, semiconductors, even near infinite batteries. Last year, we saw a CVD grown diamond with the whole spectrum of colors when viewed in shortwave UV light. We hadn't seen something like that previously, which tells us that growers are still messing around with their formulas and their techniques. We've also seen CVD diamonds with none of the typical layered growth that they've been characterized by in the past. So the short answer is there's no end in sight for the evolution of laboratory grown diamonds. And I think this scares a lot of people, especially since retailers have to stay ahead of it all. One big request that we've had this year is for our education. Our retailers want to know what their sales staff need to know to help educate the customer. They may not need to have expert gemologist level knowledge, but knowing this information is essential for proper disclosures at the point of sale. So many times when I'm training people, they get tripped up on the best way to disclose something to a customer. Part of the training I've put together actually gives people some practice talking points, and I'd recommend ensuring retailers are up to date on a few things. The first, the latest discoveries in laboratory grown diamond detection. Read the articles in the trade and the gemological journals. the Plum Club has an ever-growing resource page. Secondly, keep educating your sales teams. Give them courses, role-play disclosure conversations, and even the technical knowledge of differences and similarities between laboratory-grown and natural diamonds. They may not need to describe the difference between HPHT and CVD growth processes to a customer, but at least they have the knowledge readily available. Thirdly, stay updated on FTC guidelines and what appropriate disclosures and advertising are. So let's review some other good takeaways for our listeners. Retailers need processes in place to protect themselves. These can include independent laboratory screening and detection services, purchasing reliable screening devices, and working with trusted vendors. Internally, separate natural and laboratory-grown inventory control processes, tagging systems, and clear demarcation between natural and laboratory-grown product. Mostly, ensure disclosures are accurate, teams are educated, and that they're staying up to date with what is being reported coming out of the labs. For sure, at GSI, we work hard to ensure that we share the latest developments in diamond growth origin screening, detection, and disclosure. We see a large part of the goods being certified for retail. From our laboratory perspective, we're seeing increasing amounts of mixing as the demand of laboratory-grown diamond jewelry grows. From our seat at the table, we work to protect supply chain integrity, thereby protecting the consumer. It's an ongoing issue, but not an impossible one. We want to be sure that it's clear that laboratory-grown and natural diamonds can be separated from one another. We do it every day. And staying informed is the best way to stay ahead. So be sure to follow up with the Plum Club Resource Center for more articles and information coming soon.